So you're probably very well aware of the Marvel universe these days. If your grandkids and friends, the Avengers is a big deal. They can probably produce any movie they want for the next 20 years, and they will get sellout crowds because for some reason, avenging generally, and of course the characters themselves, they're pretty cool. But it's definitely one of those cultural things that has popped up. Like, yeah, we're gonna get them back. We're gonna stop the injustice. We are going to avenge this wrong that is happening. I mean, it just happens with quite a lot of frequency. There was this curious movie that I'm the only one that enjoys it. But it was called the Mystery Men. And I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that enjoys it. There's a few, but one of the Ben Stiller there on the right, almost far right in the black, he's Mr. Furious, the ticking time bomb of fury. He's just a personal rage machine, a volcano. And so that's his superpower. He just gets really, really, really mad. And then, then he does what he can. But I think Christians have an interesting relationship with rage and anger. I've never actually heard anybody say this, but doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible, don't get mad, get even? Like, no, that wasn't the Bible. No, not at all. But there's a sense of okay, how am I going to right this wrong, and how am I going to make this situation work in my favor? And we have to be very careful what we do with the anger that we experience, because we all do experience it. So I've titled this little conversation, "What kind of mad are you?" It says here, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So, just in the passage before this, we talk about a word, how the word has brought us forth. That same language of giving birth, like when desire gives birth to sin and sin gives birth to death, but God's word implanted in us is how he brings us forth, and then the crop of that is righteousness, the harvest that we produce. And so this word we're supposed to receive with meekness, this implanted word, which is able to save our souls. And so there's a type of anger that probably is okay. But I don't know that we're ever aware of knowing if we're in the right with that anger, because it says to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, and that's really hard for most humans. Sometimes we get nipped at enough that we stop talking, and so some of us get muted by environments. Whether that's being henpecked or having the alpha male, clamp down, and you just say, "You just stop." Whatever that process is, I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's saying this should generate within us that we are slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak, and that is something you have to learn. And I think that's something, that meekness that comes from God, really from following in the way of Jesus, where you actually hear someone out, because snap judgments and then the bitterness that results in being slow to hear and quick to speak and to respond causes all kinds of hardship in relationships. And really, it does burn us up at the core too. So slow to speak, slow to anger. And I've heard a lot of people say, "Well, slow to anger, but it's okay to be mad." It's okay to be mad, you just do it slowly. Think about it, right? Because anger has its own power source. There's a, I don't, you've experienced it. There's a building like Mr. Furious, this building volcano, this ticking time bomb, this fuse that's lit, and it kind of feels good. And dare I say, it kind of feels right because we're avenging the wrong that's been done. And it just feels, there's a fuel to it. And people are different, you know, some would say they have long fuses, and some people would say they have quick fuses, right? Boom, 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 boom. But for those that are experiencing bitterness, whether it's short term or long term, it doesn't matter how long your fuse is lit. And I think sometimes we confuse slow to anger with not being bitter at all. But sometimes you can actually grow a bitterness in yourself over a long series of time, and it becomes that thing that does burn you up. You know, it's been said that bitterness is the poison you take hoping that the other person will die. You know, bitterness, I'm like, okay, it's grinding your own gears, kind of. It's this poison you take and you consume it, waiting for that other person to pay for it. And boy, what the cost is to ourselves when we do that. And so quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because it does not, the anger of man does not produce the justice, the righteousness that God requires. And if we're honest, it's really hard to tell about our own motivations. Why does that upset me? Now, it's really helpful to reflect on these things. Why did that conversation elicit that kind of response? Maybe not in my words, but in my body. I was counseling a couple the other night who were having really difficult times with their family. They're a young couple, and then so they're talking about their family of origin. And when that thing happened, I said, "Ooh, did you feel it all the way down to your toes?" Like, yes. It was like a full body reaction to that word that was spoken or that thing that was done. It took over their whole self. And so when we experience anger, the anger of man, it's so mixed. You know, our motivations are really mixed. Am I doing self-preservation? Do I really care about the other people, or is this about my reputation? Am I really concerned about justice being done, or am I just mad about being wronged personally? Is this betrayal? Does this offend God, or does this just offend me? It's really hard, and it's worth doing the work. But I think when we think about it, we've got to be honest that our motivations are very mixed when it comes to all that. And God's perfect justice isn't accomplished by our mixed motives. You know, His perfect justice is something that we have to leave to Him. And we've all had wrongs, you know, done to us. And there's a place for us to have open hearts to forgive and to be in a posture of forgiveness, even if reconciliation isn't possible with those people. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. That's a thing that I think many Christians are forgetting at this time. And you know, it's good. I mentioned, you know, if you're not on social media right now, you are among the blessed, because right now there's vitriol and rage, and it's actually the commonplace to just rage about whatever perceived injustices are done. And then people have to figure out, am I supposed to like that? Or did I mean I like the rage, or do I commiserate? And there's just so much of that going on that it's actually very difficult to even know how to engage that kind of rage and the mixed motivation. It's not even worth addressing it usually in some of these social media forums. It's very difficult. But I remember I learned from my dad a quote that's been attributed to lots of different people. But it's something like this: better to remain silent and be thought of a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. I'll just sit back and they could say, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Better that than for me to just vent and not gonna say, give him a piece of my mind. Like, really? That was gonna help. And now we see who you truly are. So better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and to remove all doubt, is the way my dad used to say it. And yeah, we've got to be very careful, because that power that's behind anger is easily manipulated by the enemy of our soul. The power that you experience that is a misshapen sense of justice around our own mixed motivations. And it has to be reshapen by God's perfect justice, and vengeance is mine, right? And so that's super important. And I think the one more caution is just to give the enemy no room, no advantage, no foothold. And so I would say, just in a cautionary way, that we all need to monitor what's going into our heads and our reactions, and take that before Jesus and say, okay, help me process this. What's my piece in this? What do I need to leave to you? And become discerning about that, because the anger that men, the mankind produces doesn't accomplish the justice that God wants to do. So put it away, the filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. May we become those kind of people of the word that receive it with meekness, which means to me that I don't come to the word expecting to find what I think will now be in line with what I was thinking beforehand. I come to be changed by the word. I come to be confronted by the word. And so much of our spiritual pursuits are just trying to find things that make us feel more and more comfortable, or that fit with our already preconceived notions of who God is and what we're supposed to do. But if we're receiving the word right, we come with meekness and let it do a change, to let it change us, let it do a deeper work within us. And I think that's the implant the word in me. So I love that you're reading and letting the scripture just and worship songs just flow through your mind, because that's a meekness saying, okay, I want to be changed and transformed. I'm not going to trust my mixed motivations and the anger that I feel. I'm going to trust the one, the refuge, the one who is my rock and who is my salvation.